Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So when you know it's like a bad news week when Florida Man's like the smartest or like the person that's like the sanest. All right, so first up, what'd that fish do to you? A Florida man broke into his ex's home and flushed her fish down the toilet after smashing the tank. So he was mad. This was in Lee County in Cape Coral. So he broke into her home. Brett Dahl, who is 29, and 2:30 in the morning, attacked her, threw a picture frame at her, demanded she tell him where. Oh, he apparently is a prohibited possessor, and he had a gun there too. Pushed her in a closet. Went after her fish tank, her $300 fish tank. It contained her fish named Bean. And then she said that she heard Dahl go into the bathroom, flush the toilet, and did not see her fish after that. And he also apparently bashed up her headlight and then left in his friend's Jaguar. Jaguar. I mean, that is so ignorant. You're flushing her fish down. It was like her pet fish. I don't understand how you can have like a pet fish and you talk to it because you can't pet them. It's weird, but I get it. A Florida man was charged after breaking into a CVS and pulling a Ron Swanson with the Viagra. So he broke in and he says, I want all of your bottles of Viagra. You know how Swanson was like, I don't mean some bacon and eggs. I mean all of your bacon and eggs. He's been charged with a number of felonies and on a misdemeanor. He went into the CVS and asked for all the bottles, literally all of them. I'm made of jokes right now. This 23-year-old guy, he was in Orlando CVS. He handed the pharmacist a note, and then apparently he told them all of it, not some, all of it. So he did not have a weapon at the time. He's been arrested, and yeah, he's been charged with more things than I can actually. He's very specific with his note, too. They're desperate. There isn't anyone. I was thinking about this over the weekend. There's not anybody that Biden can look at and say, that's an asset to me. Now, think about this for a minute. Consider his circle. Is there anyone that you consider he has as an asset? Think of it. Just a minute. Anyone in Biden's circle you can think of that is an actual asset to him, right? That adds some value, that gives him a bit of pump, right? Anybody? No. And I think Democrats are actually realizing this for the first time. They're freaking out over it. Ooh, whereas I'm sitting back and having popcorn, they're freaking out over it, which is why I feel like this debate is so. You know who Trump should take as his debate guest? London Roberts. They should have London Roberts and Navy Jones sitting first front row and center at the debates. Kane. Yeah. Please tell me that somebody in his camp thought of it. Please. I should be the Ministry of Pettiness. Just, I won't take a check. I just do it for the love. Just give me a plaque and give me some, you know, give me a door fob. I'm cool. But they should have London Roberts and A.V. Jones sitting front and center, right? And every single time Biden brings up something that Trump can't address because of the gag order, Trump should just then point to the granddaughter just to mess with him. Every time he could just, well, let's ask Navy Joan what she thinks. Every single time. That's what I would do if I were debating Biden. I would do everything possible, right? Everything to throw, because Biden, you can push Biden's buttons easily. He's always been like that. Always been like that. So this debate's Thursday. He's in Camp David. He's getting all jacked up with who knows what. I bet Hunter's up there. You know, he's his middleman, getting all the booger sugar he can. Doing everything he can, getting them all decked out. He's going to need it. He's going to have to go back on commercial break for infusions. Goodness. Now, while this was happening, one of the debate moderators, and this is audio, somebody's seen it. So one of the debate moderators came up in a segment, and it was the press secretary for the Trump campaign who was on with CNN's Cassie Hunt. And it didn't go well. And apparently, you're not allowed to be on CNN and mention that Jake Tapper has repeatedly compared the former president to Hitler or called him a Nazi or something, which, you know, Godwin's law. Apparently, that's not something you're allowed to, I don't know.
So
listen
unbiased.
To, yeah. Go ahead. Listen to this. 12. Audio somebody 12.
What do you expect from Joe Biden?
Well, first of all, it takes someone 5 minutes to Google Jake Tapper, Donald Trump, to see that Jake Tapper has consistently frequently likened President Trump to Adolf Hitler.
Ma'am, I'm going to stop this interview if you continue to attack my colleagues. I would like to talk about Joe Biden and Donald Trump, who you work for.
Yes.
If you are here to speak on his behalf, I am willing to have this conversation.
I am stating facts that your colleagues have stated in the past.
Okay,
now,
I'm sorry, guys.
Debate,
we're going to come back out to the panel. Caroline, thank you very much for your time. You are welcome to come
It's just weird because I can't tell you how many times on CNN they would have guests on that would say that I was a murderer, that I was a Nazi, that I owned Congress people. That actually happened. Quote, I don't care about these children's lives, and they're talking about me. She owns these congressmen. And everyone's like, everyone from Jake Tapper to Brian Stelter. I mean, to say nothing of the town hall that Tapper moderated, and we, you know, we're all there. It's so apparently you're attacking people if you said this is stuff that they actually said. How is that an attack? Wait a minute. Laughs in Jeffrey Toobin. But that would have been my response. I would have said, oh, I'm sorry. I should have realized that the only acceptable way to treat your colleagues is to have a singular romantical time on a Zoom call like Jeffrey Toobin did. Toobin it is a verb for a reason.
Yep.
She should have brought that up just to throw it back in her face. She just was already, you can always tell when you do these hits if the television show, if the host of that, I didn't even know, what's her name, Cassie? Casey? I don't know. Her name's K-A-S-I-E. Right? Her mom sounds like a Tiffany with an I. Well, how do you say her name?
I think it's Cassie.
I don't know. Did she host a show? I don't even know she hosted a show.
Cassie with a K.
I can tell she owns a flat iron because, golly. But, oh, am I not supposed to say that? Am I not supposed to say that? Shut up. Well, you're watching for a reason. Let's be real. I didn't realize, though, that acknowledging something, and that's kind of important to acknowledge, going in front of the debate that dude is moderating, right? I feel like it's, I don't know, kind of significant maybe to bring up all the past stuff that said moderator dude has mentioned or remarked on concerning one of the people who are going to be participating in the debate. Yes? Yes?
Do you think Democrats would be silent if the roles were reversed? Like if there was somebody who was so anti-Biden and who's the moderator and they have proof they could just Google.
They freak out if it's Brett Baer.
Right.
They freak out. And Brett Baer, who is not a progressive, but he is a newsman. He's a newsman. And they freaked out because of him, just because of his affiliation, because he's viewed as being on the right. It's just so wild. Yeah, I don't know why anyone's participating in this debate. I don't know why the GOP agreed to the terms. I think it's stupid. This is one of the instances where the audience actually matters, right? Out of any debate, I think the audience would have been, their participation would have been very interesting in this debate. And the fact that the GOP, once again, the RNC agreeing to stupid debates on hostile networks with hostile moderators, and then they're going to be shocked if Trump doesn't get to speak. Wow, it's almost like he went on a hostile network with hostile moderators. Who could have saw that coming? Not the RNC. Woohoo! They do this all the time. Golly. It's like that meme where the little cartoon figure's riding a bike and then the cartoon figure sticks a stick into the spokes of the tire and he falls down and then he blames everybody else but him doing it. It's the same thing, the RNC. It's just the goofiest thing. So this was, I'm just saying, this, it's... I don't know what to expect out of this debate. Do I think it's going to be fair? No. No, it's not going to be fair. It's not going to be fair at all. Now, Trump said that he is going to apparently, well, he said his running mate will attend the debate. I think he's going to drag that out as long as possible. Is it important, you think, Kane, if he announces one now? I don't know if he needs to announce one now.
I don't think it's necessary.
I think it... Well, especially depending on who it is. I told you, I think that he should pick Glenn Youngkin, who turns out, or Brian Kemp. I know a lot of people said DeSantis. DeSantis is in Florida. Trump is now domiciled in Florida. I don't think that that necessarily would work because Florida is already a solid red state. I think you got to do a swing state. And you have to have a swing state governor.
I think he wants to milk this for as much as possible.
Oh, he should.
He was stuck in court for that long.
He should milk this as much as possible.
And I think that's what he's going to do. And he's going to wait until – did he say the convention or something is when he's
– Well, he just said that he's already privately chosen someone to be the running mate. And he didn't say who it was, but he said that he said he's decided in his mind and that that person is going to be – at the debate. My question is, does the person know? Because if they don't, then you're going to have all these people that are going to be pick me girls all trying to like get in there and do it, right? So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I just think it's Brian Kemp, Glenn Youngkin would be great choices because Georgia, that's a state you need, and Virginia's a state you need. And Virginia could go. I mean, it's within the margin of error. It could go that way. I mean, we'll see. Kel-Tec is a great Florida-based company. They make all kinds of firearms, and I know you're very familiar with the Sub-2K Gen 3. And the Sub-2K Gen 3, which has been shipping for a while now, very cool. It's folds right in half, and you don't have to detach your favorite optics anymore to fold it in half, and you can keep them all on it. They've got a couple of other different options on it as well, different improvements. They've got redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action, easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open as well, and all quality made right here in the U.S. of A. Family-owned company, family-owned values, and America needs more companies like Kel-Tec. Very innovative Florida-based creator of pistol, rifles, shotguns, as well as accessories and gear, and that Sub-2K Gen 3, light, foldable, and effective. See everything Kel-Tec has to offer for yourself at KelTecWeapons.com, and be sure to follow them on social media. That's KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first and foremost, flooding, record flooding in Iowa. More rain than they expected, and it's prompt evacuations. One city is entirely isolated. Historic flooding has struck parts of Iowa over the weekend, damaging 2,000 properties. Disaster declarations. Governor Kim Reynolds said that the devastation is severe and widespread. And all weekend, just tons of direct rain. Some areas had 15 inches in 2 days. And it said it also flooded all the dry communities downstream. So, goodness, stay safe out there in those floodwaters. 91-year-old Willie Nelson is not feeling well, and he's taking a few days off from his Outlaw Music Festival tour. He said it from inside a pot cloud. Just saying. Somebody wrote blank Elon on dozens of Cybertrucks in a Florida parking lot. They were set for delivery. So someone drew on the drawings. Yeah, they got mad. I guess they don't like Elon Musk. They decided these were a bunch of Cybertrucks that were getting ready to be delivered. And somebody wrote F Elon on all of them.
That's a hate crime, right? Because you can't.
Yeah, it's like a hate crime or something.
You can't put tire marks on a paint on the road, but somehow.
Yeah, that's like a mega hate crime. That's a big time hate crime, I'm told. We're all told that reliably. The stock market is in its longest stretch without a 2% sell-off since the financial crisis or pump before the dump. Legos have gone from a humble toy. How in the world? It's now a big black market item fueled by Los Angeles heists. The minifigures? This is crazy. In a really bad story, Daniel Miller and Summer Lynn, two people have a byline on this story at Yahoo News, and neither one of them knows how to write a balanced lead, and they should be dragged to death. Rhetorically speaking, of course, wink. But apparently the minifigures, like hundreds of them, are stolen like regularly. They said, in fact, one case, the thief stuffed a garbage bag with $10,000 worth of figurines. I just want to say these are plastic miniature children's toys. $10,000. And they said that out of one Bricks and Minifigs outlet, there was a $100,000 plus crime spree. I know. I feel like we got to start stealing Legos to make some bank now, right? I mean, that's where borrowing Legos, because my theft identifies as borrowing. Construction workers are dying from suicide at an alarming rate. I didn't know this. One of the highest rates amongst this profession. They said 6,000 construction workers committed suicide in 2022 alone. That's insane. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/DanaShow and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/DanaShow. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/DanaShow. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
Well, I think we have to just look at the fact that President Trump can win this race regardless of who his vice president is. He's got the luxury of not having to pick someone. And I think if we actually look in political history, the last time a vice presidential pick actually helped swing an election was when Kennedy picked Lyndon Johnson, and Lyndon Johnson helped Kennedy win that race. And with President Trump right now, where he is with Hispanics, with blacks, with people under age 30, and with independents, I mean, he's very strong across the board. So he can pick someone that he can focus on, like, hey, let's get someone, get stuff done. Let's get someone who helps him govern. He doesn't have to make a choice like some of the others. Names that you cited where maybe they needed a blend to actually get the electoral block.
I don't think that that's necessarily incorrect. I just don't know why Doug Burgum is talking about it. Why is he talking about it? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Doug Burgum, as you know, he was one of the guys, we talked about this last week, who's being considered. He's a governor of North Dakota. He kind of looks like, I don't know, like a more generic Eugene Levy. It's the eyebrows. It's the eyebrows that do it. I don't necessarily think that's wrong, but I don't think it's entirely correct either, what he just said there. And before we get started, by the way, hi, welcome back. Good to be with you. Top of the third hour. Dana Lash with you. Listen coast to coast. You can follow us online. Stream us, Channel 347, Direct TV as well. I think that it is important if it is a swing state. I think it very much adds to Trump's momentum. I think that it helps him, especially if it's a state like Georgia or Virginia, because there are, you know, it always comes down to like the hometown politician. Like if this is one of their own, and then it's going to be a lot easier to get those voters in that state. And I think with people like Brian Kemp or even a Glenn Youngkin, I think that there's a greater chance of Trump to be able to unite kind of the frayed factions of the right and bring in Republican, but traditionally non-hardcore Trump voters, if that makes sense. It's not like they dislike him. It's just that they're Republican voters, but I don't think that they would define themselves as MAGA. And that's a demo that you have to understand and that you still want and need in order to win. So I think that in those instances, I do think it is important who his VP pick is. He's got a great opportunity. I just don't think that he can have somebody who is super charismatic like he is. You can't have two charismatic people like that. But at the same time, I think a lot of people were left wondering what Mike Pence did, right? He seemed real milquetoast, didn't he? Like to the point where you just, I don't know, it almost didn't seem like it worked there either. So I don't know. I don't think it can be Doug Burgum because North Dakota's, sorry, with your electoral vote, you're not bringing a lot. Okay. I'm just being honest about it. Great state. You're just not bringing a lot electorally to it. Come on. Let's be real. It's not like a Georgia. It's not like a Virginia. It's very different. I also think that Kristi Noem is officially out. If she was ever being considered, it's still not happening. By the way, she had, she said she wasn't formally vetted, Audio Soundbite 10. She said that she hasn't been formally vetted to be his running mate because she's out of the running. Listen.
Let me ask you about some of our reporting that shows there are three names now on Donald Trump's shortlist to serve as his vice presidential pick. Yours is not one of them right now. Are you being vetted? Have you received the paperwork?
The only person who knows who the vice president's going to be is Donald Trump.
Have you received the paperwork, though?
No, I haven't received any paperwork. No, I haven't. I've had conversations with the president, and I know that he is the only one who will be making the decisions on who will be his vice president.
Got extensions or nothing. I'm just saying it's not going to happen. They did ask her about Audio Soundbite 11. They had to bring back to the Kim Jong-un thing. Again, she wrote it in her book. She's never going to get away from this. We got it. It's audio. What is it? Audio Soundbite 11. Listen.
So let's talk about the book, having gone through much of it right now. This week, Russian President Vladimir Putin traveled to North Korea to meet with Kim Jong-un. In the first release of your book, you wrote, "I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. There was no evidence that that meeting happened. So how did it make it into your book, Governor?"
I'm not going to talk about that.
You're not going to talk about that?
It's in your book. That's so weak. That is so weak. You can't do that. You can't put it in your book. And then I'm not going to talk about it. But you put it in your book. Not only did you put it, again, you put it in your book, and then you had to go through the editing read, and then you had to okay the excerpts that were released to promote the book. So she had like three different opportunities to say, that's not going to work. I'm not going to do that. I can't have it. It just looks weak to be like, no, I'm not going to talk about that now. You're not going to talk about the meeting that you said happened and literally the entirety of your staff contradicted you? You're not going to talk about that? Really? I've never seen so many unforced errors. So now she's out of the running. Out of the running. And I got to say, with her moderate record, I'm happy. Because she's a moderate. She tried to like reframe herself and she had a glow up. Went to the salon. She totally changed her look. Seriously changed it. And it didn't. And then she decided to shoot herself in the foot and come out with this book where she thought she was going to flex, and it ended up looking goofy. Just didn't work out. So who do you think it's going to be? I know who I want it to be. I kind of think it might be Tim Scott. I don't know. If you see Tim Scott at the debate, I'm going to be like, it's Tim Scott. But then what if he's there with Doug Burgum? What are you going to think? There's no way Trump picks Doug Burgum. No offense, but no. Yeah. Right? No. Does he inspire anything? I think he would actually be a drag on the ticket. Yeah. He would be a drag. He doesn't bring anything electorally. It's just dumb. It's a waste of a maneuver. Don't do it. I actually don't think, I don't know. Does Tim Scott, I don't know if that works. Tim Scott?
Well, like you said, I mean, what does the VP really do except just support the president, right?
Yeah.
And who does?
And then could be president. So it's like,
right. Ugh. And then who does that the best? I don't think it's going to happen with Rubio because of the whole Florida thing.
No. Him crumpling on stage and being
right.
Moderate.
Burgum doesn't really move the needle. Not that. And I think even his audio pointed to it, that Trump doesn't need a VP to move the needle for him in some way, shape or form, I guess, at this point.
In certain respects, I think he does in non-MAGA Republican voters, independents.
I agree with
that.
In
those swing states. I think he does.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's why I hope he picks a Youngkin or a Kemp. I know that Kemp is like a... That's like me asking for a Ferrari, right? Or a 1970 Challenger. Black with black tinted windows.
You'll poke your eye out.
Black leather interior. No, I don't have you'll poke your eye out. Mine is you'll ramp it around a tree. That's what I'm told in my house. So what if I'm a woman driver? And just get away from me on the road. Just let me have my lanes. I said lanes.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.